This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome to the very first Fearless Presentations podcast. I'm Doug Stannert. I'm the CEO of the Fearless Presentations Company. And although we're new to podcasting, we're definitely not new to the public speaking business. I'll give you just a brief little background about myself. I actually got into the public speaking business a whole lot differently than what most people do. A lot of people that get into this profession and want to be professional speakers, it's because they have a real calling. It's because they got up in front of a group at one point in their life and just did such a bang up job that they continue to do it over and over again and get better and better and better. I was the exact opposite. The very first time I got up in front of a group, I was a basket case. It was horrible. And as a result, I did a tremendous amount of training very early on in my career. And because of that training, I was able to really hone in and develop that skill. And so my passion is really for helping other people develop that same skill. Do basically what I did, you know, go from a point where you're not necessarily a great speaker and turn into a real world class kind of speaker. So my story, when I started out, I was in college and I had an internship with a big oil company. I worked for Atlantic Richfield for the ARCO oil and gas company when I was in college, and it was just a 3-month internship. But there was a lot of pressure on it. During that 3 months, we did some really cool stuff. Like, for instance, I was in an office in West Texas, and one of my roles was in the acquisitions and divestiture department, and we were selling, you know, a lot of oil properties at the time. So here I was, like almost 21 years old, and I was responsible for selling a gas plant, which was kind of cool. I mean, not many young kids get to do stuff like that. So I was involved in a lot of really, really big projects and got a ton of experience. Well, at the end of that 3-month period of time, though, the company wanted us to fly into Dallas and give a presentation on kind of what we'd done for the summer. And the interesting thing about what happened a couple weeks prior before that is that I was not really nervous in the beginning. You know, I'd given presentations in high school and college, and I'd always done pretty well. I mean, I was not a phenomenal speaker, but I wasn't a terrible speaker either. And my boss called me into his office about 2 weeks before I was scheduled to do this presentation. And he said, "Hey, Doug, you know, just got word that they're going to be reducing the intern program next year. And so, and since this was my junior year," he said, "if you want to be invited back, you know, this presentation is going to be real critical. Right now we had 12 interns, and next year we're probably going to have about 3 or 4. And I was, so all of a sudden the pressure started to hit where I'm going, holy crap, this was my chosen career field. I had made the assumption that, you know, if I got this internship, which I worked really, really hard for, and I did a good job, that I'd, you know, have my career set and be in corporate America and that kind of thing. So the nervousness started to hit a couple of weeks before I actually gave the presentation. And when I flew into Dallas and was just about to deliver the presentation, I walked into the boardroom, and this was a boardroom that was set up for maybe, it was a size for maybe 25 people or so, and I think there were probably 30 or 35 people kind of crammed into it. So it was a little cramped and crowded, and I was sitting around this boardroom table, and when I walked in, I knew I was kind of outclassed anyway because everybody in the room was wearing a jacket and a tie and a formal suit, and at the time, I didn't even own a jacket, so I kind of walked in with my white button-up shirt and a pretty nice tie, but still, you know, I was already starting to feel a little bit kind of outclassed. And then the first couple of people that got up to speak did a bang up job. The first guy got up and he was telling jokes, and as he was kind of delivering his jokes, I'm sitting there thinking, holy crap, I have no jokes. And so I'm sitting there scrambling in my head, trying to think of some joke that wasn't offensive to the group. And the next girl got up, or the next person got up. She was a young lady that was a law student. And she had just a ton of really nice visual aids. She had actually sent down to marketing and had them create a bunch of color visual aids, which at the time was kind of unheard of. This was back before PowerPoint and stuff like that. So all of a sudden I'm sitting here thinking, holy crap, I got no jokes, I got no visual aids. And so I was already getting nervous and I could feel the clamminess on my palms. And that was a big challenge as well. So I was the third person to speak. The woman who was in charge of the intern program, and invited me to come up, and I speak pretty fast anyway, but when I get nervous, oh man, I kind of zoom through my presentation. So I had about 15 minutes of prepared speech, and I think I probably delivered the entire speech in maybe 4 minutes, 3.5, 4 minutes or so. So I just kind of zoomed through it. And when I got to the ending, I didn't really have a great ending. So I just kind of stopped and sat down. And I think people were kind of shocked because it went so short and because it had such an abrupt ending that folks were kind of questioning when I sat down. I was like, oh my God, is he done? Is that it? Is that what's going to happen? And so I'm sitting there, I'm mortified. I'm sitting looking around the table and I'm thinking, okay, if there's 12 of us in this room and three people are going to be able to come back or get a permanent position, man, I probably just blew my chance to kind of get that. And immediately after that, though, I just kind of dwelled on it for a little while. And then I said, you know what? That is never, ever, ever going to happen to me again. I am never going to get outclassed like that. I am never going to be unprepared for something that's going to help me in my career. And so I started looking for training, and I found a training program, a leadership class. It wasn't even a public speaking class, but I found a leadership class where a lady was doing leadership coaching in West Texas, where I was living at the time. And she had like a 3-month coaching process that I went through. And about halfway through that coaching process, I actually quit my job at the oil company that I was working at the time and ended up going into sales because I figured I could probably make more money doing that. Within 6 months of the time that I had quit my job at the oil company, I was making more money in my bonus checks than what I was making on salary at the oil company. And so I went back to her and I said, hey, you know, this stuff really works. You know, this communication skills, these people skills, these leadership skills, this stuff really, really works. And so I followed her around for a couple of years, begging her to let me be a sales rep for her. And finally, she kind of broke down. And that's how I kind of got into the industry. So basically, I was the poster child for what not to do as a leader, for what not to do as a speaker. And because of the changes that I made in my life, I was able to become fairly successful in the industry. The Fearless Presentations class is a 2-day public speaking class, and we teach that in cities all over the United States and Canada and Europe. And we do these about every 2, 3, 4 months or so in each of the major cities. So if you ever want to go to a class, if you ever want additional training, then the 2-day public speaking class is a good way to do it. In each one of these sessions, each one of the podcasts, we're going to kind of cover, I like to cover, you know, some kind of technical breakthrough or some kind of technology find that will help us be better speakers, and also some skill development as well. Now, sometimes the skill development are going to be things that I'm going to be pulling from some of my classes and teach you. And then other times it's going to be interviews with experts in the industry. So don't let the name fool you, though. Even though we call this the Fearless Presentations Podcast, that's our brand name. And really, we really do help people reduce public speaking fear. It's one of the fastest, easiest ways to help people reduce public speaking fear is our training programs. And hopefully this podcast will be a big help in that as well. But a lot of times what I think what people are kind of surprised at when they go through one of our training programs is at the end of it, they go, holy crap, I'm much better than most everybody else I've ever heard speaking, right? So we cover some really professional kind of techniques in a very short period of time. And so you'll start to pick up on some of those too. So I would encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. It's one of those things that as we put new information out, it can be very, very helpful to you personally in your career. And also if you're trying to coach other people in how to be better public speakers or better leaders. So that can be very, very helpful. So let's start this week with this week's Tech Find.
Tech Find, high-tech gadgets to make your presentations better.
So the Tech Find this week is an app that you can find on your iPhone or your iPad, basically in the Apple App Store, and it's called EduCreations, EduCreations, EduCreations. It's a whiteboard application that you can use to basically do more spontaneous kind of visual aids in the presentations that you're making. I tell you some interesting situations that might come up that where this can be helpful. When I first started doing training programs, they were kind of tiny programs. I mean, I was working with 8, 10 people, maybe 12 people in a boardroom. And when you're doing a presentation in a small boardroom, if you have a big, huge screen set up, it's kind of overwhelming. It doesn't really work well. So what I figured out that I could do in some of these smaller settings is I could still use a PowerPoint slideshow, or I could still use slide or a slide deck. But if I projected that slide deck onto like a whiteboard or a flip chart, it made it to where I could do more spontaneous things. Like I could take a marker and highlight something. I could write in hand additional information. I could add stuff to the presentation, that kind of thing. So it made the presentations that I was creating a whole lot more intimate, a whole lot more spontaneous to the group that I was presenting with. And since I did that for quite a few years, I got really good at creating those spontaneous types of additions to my presentation. Well, the challenge got when I started speaking to much bigger audiences, when I was speaking to 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 people, a whiteboard, if you got 10,000 people in your audience and you put a whiteboard up on the stage, it's going to be very, very difficult for somebody to see it. So this basically takes some of those really cool things that you can do with a small group and make it applicable for a big group as well. One of the ways that I've kind of used this is you can take your regular PowerPoint slide deck and you can turn it into images. You can actually just do a save as, and you can save each one of your slides as an image and then upload that image to EduCreations. And when you do, you've actually got your slide now as a visual aid, and you've got a way now with an iPad or with your iPhone to just kind of write on the slide. You can actually highlight things, you can circle things, you can add additional content to the material. So it makes the whole presentation a whole lot more spontaneous. So basically, one of the cool things that this app will allow you to do is to make your bigger types of presentations where the audience is much bigger, make it more intimate as if it were a much smaller group. So I think you'll get some great advantages by using this particular app, and go experiment with it, kind of try it out. By the way, if you have other apps or other technical finds that you want to highlight, just email me at podcast@fearlesspresentations.com, and I might do a segment on that one in one of our future programs.
High-tech gadgets to make your presentations better.
So, Doug, what's today's hot topic?
So the hot topic for today is 10 things that you can do to help you reduce public speaking fear. And in fact, because there's 10 items, we're going to kind of break it down into two separate podcasts. So we'll cover 5 of those things on this particular podcast, and then we'll cover the additional 5 things on the next podcast. These are the 5 things that you can do to reduce nervousness that are taken right from the first chapter of my book, Fearless Presentations. And this is one of the first things that we tend to talk about in our 2-day public speaking class. One of the things that you really want to keep in mind about public speaking fear is it's pretty normal. In fact, surveys show that in the United States anyway, about 95% of the population has some type of public speaking fear. So you're in good company. If you're listening to this podcast, you're normal anyway. So the really good speakers are the ones who kind of, like the old book said, you got to feel the fear and do it anyway. And what's interesting about the skill in public speaking is that the more times that you do it and have a success, the more confidence that you're going to build as a speaker. And that's really what we kind of teach in our coaching sessions as well, is that have a series of successes, and it makes it a whole lot easier now to stand up and speak in front of a group. So the very first tip that we're going to cover is a tip that kind of basically says that most of the stuff that happens to us when we get nervous are things that the audience isn't really going to see anyway. And if you think it's almost kind of common sense, but not common practice. What tends to happen is when we get nervous, our body tends to change in a lot of different ways. We're going to start sweating in weird places, or we're going to get those butterflies in our stomach. Our heart's going to start racing, get the clammy hands and the shaky hands, and we're going to start talking faster and all that kind of stuff. So when those kind of things happen, those are very real. Those symptoms are very, very real. We feel those things. But most of those things are things that the audience would never even know had occurred anyway. Like, for instance, if you have butterflies in your stomach, you might feel queasy and you might feel like you're going to throw up. But as long as you don't actually throw up, the audience isn't really going to know that there was anything wrong. They're not going to see that as a difference. If our heart is racing, it may feel like our heart's going to beat out of our chest, but the audience will never know that. So a lot of the stuff that happens to us when we get nervous are going to be things that the audience will never see anyway. By the way, some of the things that the audience will see are things that may actually be advantageous to us. Like, for instance, when we get nervous, we tend to speak faster than what we normally would. So if you're talking faster, not only is that a symptom of nervousness, but that's actually a symptom of enthusiasm as well. So is moving around more. A lot of times when we get nervous, we tend to move around. We might pace or we might do some of those nervous tics, but in reality, we're actually moving more. That's also a symptom of energy. It's a symptom of enthusiasm. There is a good chance that there's probably at least a few people that are listening to the podcast right now that at some time in your life, sometime in your career, you got up to give a presentation. And when you sit down, you're like, oh my gosh, I did horrible. That was the worst experience ever. And then afterwards, people came up to you and said, oh my God, you're so good at this. You're just like a natural. Well, there's a good chance that in those kind of situations, they actually saw your nervousness and perceived it as being energy and perceived it as being enthusiasm. So you can actually use that to your advantage. A lot of people that are in the public speaking industry, like public speaking coaching industry anyway, a lot of my competitors, they're going to tell you the exact opposite. They're going to tell you that when you get nervous, slow down, right? That's the exact opposite of what you want to do. If you get nervous, you got to kind of speed up. That's going to make you more exciting. It's going to make you more interesting. It's going to make people pay attention to you more. So that's actually a symptom of nervousness that you can actually use to your advantage. I give you a good example of this in real life. When I first started as a in sales anyway, I'd been in sales for, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so, and I got promoted to be a sales manager. First guy I hired was a guy that I was training just like the way I was trained. You know, I took the guy into my office and we kind of went through a sales pitch and went through it, you know, 3, 4, 5 times or so. I did it and then I had him do it and you know, felt like we were pretty prepared. Well, we went out to speak to the first quote unquote prospect, the person who was a prospective customer. I had this guy give the presentation and he was so nervous that he just zoomed through it. I mean, it was typically, you know, it would take anywhere from, you know, 10 minutes to 20 minutes or so to kind of go through the presentation. Well, he zoomed through it in like lightning speed. And at the end of the presentation, he just kind of looked at the young lady that he was presenting to and she paused for a second and then she looked back. And at this point, I'm thinking, this is so bad. Oh, God, I'm going to get fired. It's my first day as a sales manager and I'm going to get fired my first day. Holy crap, what am I going to do next? And that kind of thing. And the young lady looked back at him. She said, wow, that sounds pretty good. And I'm shocked. I'm looking around going, oh, what? How did that happen? Right. And she said, yeah, how do I got to get started? And he pulled out a contract and you know, she became one of his first customers. And one of the as he was kind of packing up his briefcase, since he was kind of off away from us a little bit, I kind of turned to the young lady that had purchased the product and I said, hey, just out of curiosity, what was it that made you so interested in this? What was it that kind of put you over the top? And she said, well, the guy was just so excited about this that I figured if I didn't buy it, then he was just going to go to one of my competitors and they'd buy it. And then I'd have missed out on that opportunity. And it for the first time, it kind of hit me how nervousness can be perceived as energy and enthusiasm. Because he was terrified, but she was perceiving that as being energy and enthusiasm. And that happens a lot in public speaking, by the way. You can actually use that nervousness to your advantage. By the way, I mentioned earlier that nervousness is kind of normal, even for professional speakers. And even professional speakers get nervous, but the audience will likely not even perceive that nervousness. I'll give you a good example of that from my own life. When I was a couple years ago, I got nominated for a marketing award by a public speaking association. So basically, these were everybody that was in the audience were peers of mine. These were people that actually do professional speaking for a living. And it was a contest, basically, that there were six of us that were nominated that had businesses that were pretty good at doing marketing in the speaking industry. And out of the six, each one of us got to come up on stage and present for like 15 minutes. And the audience was going to choose the winner. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good opportunity. It didn't hit me until I saw the other names on the list, the other five nominees. And I knew these guys. These were really prestigious keynote speakers and people that were really well known in the industry, and I was competing against them. So I kind of for the first time started to get a little bit nervous. And then what really increased my nervousness though was that I was looking and I'm the only guy whose specialty is fearless public speaking, right? So other people were doing leadership and marketing and different things like that, but it kind of hit me a few days really before I was about to give the speech that, you know, I'm supposed to be the public speaking guy, the fearless presentations guy. So if I get up on stage and I look nervous, holy crap, my career is over. And so the anxiety started to kind of build. Well, when we got into the room, there were the six of us were sitting at the front table, and there were a couple of people that were going before me, and there were another three that were going after me. And as the second person was presenting, he did a really good job. I was really impressed. I'd never heard of this guy, and he was doing a really good job. And I looked over, and the table was empty. I was the only guy now sitting at the table. The other three people that were going to go after me actually weren't even sitting at the head table anymore. And I looked off to the side it was a big ballroom that had kind of the accordion doors that separated it from other sections of the ballroom. And I looked, and each one of those other three guys, these professional speakers, these guys that do this for a living, they were pacing back and forth. And I could tell they were kind of going through their speech. And I got up and I think I did a pretty good job. And the other three guys got up and they did a pretty good job as well. So the thing is that I could tell that they were doing that. They were going through those paces because they were nervous. But when they got up in front of the group, the audience couldn't see it. And it's likely that's a very similar thing that will happen to you as well. So even if you feel that nervousness, keep in mind that a lot of that stuff is going to be things that the audience doesn't see anyway. Now, some of these other nine things that we're going to cover are going to be things that will help you actually reduce that nervousness. So the number two and number three are two that really go together, and they are the cause of more public speaking fear than just about anything else that you can do. The first one, or tip number two anyway, is that you never, ever, ever want to write a presentation word for word. Because if you think about it, if you write out a presentation word for word, what are you most likely to do? You're most likely going to want to read it, right? So when you read a presentation, it's going to sound, I don't care how good of a speaker you are, it's going to sound boring. That's a very unique skill, is to be able to read a presentation and make it sound interesting and make it sound like something people want to kind of hear. So that's a very, very difficult skill to kind of master. So what we kind of teach our customers, our clients to do is to make notes, jot down a couple of bullet points and then add in content that you don't necessarily have to kind of write out word for word. In the olden days, what people used to do back when I first started doing presentations, people used to kind of write out their entire presentation on a legal pad, or they'd, flashcards or something like that. And nowadays, though, it's kind of high tech. Now, what most people do is they'll just put their entire presentation on a slideshow. They'll put, 142 bullet points on a PowerPoint slideshow. Well, basically, that's the same thing as writing it out word for word. It's just you're not writing every single exact word, but it's pretty dang close, because what tends to happen is people will kind of read a bullet point and then say just a little bit, and then read another bullet point and say a little bit, and read another bullet point and kind of say a little bit. So that kind of thing will cause your nervousness to increase exponentially. So if you design your presentations even just a little bit differently, you're going to reduce that nervousness pretty dramatically. In a few podcasts down the road, we're going to show you how to really design presentations in a way that will help you reduce that nervousness and make it to where you don't necessarily have to write out the presentation word for word and get a much better result. So tip number two is you want to avoid writing out the presentation word for word. Now, tip number three goes right along with tip number two, is you don't want to try to memorize your presentation word for word, because that's the trap that people tend to fall into. They'll write their presentation word for word, and then they'll try to, when they read it, they know they sound boring. So they say, okay, great. If I read this thing, I'm going to sound really boring. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to memorize that, and that's going to make me sound better, which actually doesn't even make any sense. And basically, you're saying the same exact thing as you would have said if you were reading the presentation, but now you probably don't have your cheat notes in front of you. So that if you're nervous already, and you've got a memorized speech and you flub a line or you forget what you're going to say, then that nervousness is going to increase exponentially in just a couple of seconds. So those two things right there, number two and number three, writing a presentation word for word and trying to memorize a presentation word for word, are the two biggest mistakes that people make in the design process that cause a lot of public speaking fear. Tip number four is you want to show up early. If you're the presenter, if you're the person who's actually delivering the presentation, you want to make sure that you're there well in front of the time that you're going to be starting, especially if you have some type of visual aid. So if you have an electronic slideshow of some kind, a PowerPoint or a Prezi or something like that, and you have to kind of hook that up, it's a whole lot better to kind of attach those things or practice with those kind of things an hour before you speak than 3 minutes before you speak, because there's a good chance something's going to go wrong. I don't care how many times you've done it. I don't care how technical you are. Somewhere along the way, you're going to try to hook up your PowerPoint slideshow and it's not going to work. And if that happens 2 minutes before you speak, all of a sudden that panic will kind of set in. Whereas if it happens an hour, let's just say it only takes you a minute to fix it. You know, you're still starting on time. You're still starting your presentation on time. But a minute before you're starting, now all of a sudden that panic has set in, and it kind of throws you off your game pretty dramatically. So show up early. Another good reason for being at your venue early is that you get a chance to kind of see the room. You get to kind of to meet with the people. So especially if it's a group that you don't speak to often, or if it's a brand new group that you've never met, it gives you a chance to kind of network with the folks a little bit, so you can better customize the content of your presentation to these folks. So there's a lot of advantages to kind of showing up early. Years ago, this is probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years or so ago, I was speaking with another one of my presenters. We were doing a leadership conference in a small town, and we were staying at a hotel that was, like 0.3 miles away from the venue. And we did that on purpose. You know, we went on to the travel website and we put in the address of where we were going to be speaking the next morning, and saw that this was the actual closest hotel. So we kind of booked that. So we get into the hotel the night before, and it's kind of dark, but we see that there are a couple of high rise buildings that are in kind of the same parking lot. So we're thinking, oh, that must be where we're going to be speaking the next morning, right? Well, the speaker that I was presenting with had a brand new kind of GPS. So this was, probably right before the GPSs were real popular on the cell phones. And he'd spent, you know, the high dollars to get this really good, I think it was like a Garmin or something like that, right? And he puts the address in just to make sure that we're going to the right place. And we're 45 minutes or so before we're going to be starting, or I think it's about an hour or so before we're going to be starting. So we got plenty of time. We're only 0.3 miles away. So it's going to be, you know, a couple minutes or so to get there. He punches the address in the Garmin, and it says that it looks like it is 0.3 miles away, but it's on the opposite side of the road on the access road of the freeway that we were next to. So not a big deal. It was like, you know, 1.2 miles or so to get there. So it was still only a couple minutes. So we get on we're just about to get on the freeway, and we just notice that the traffic is kind of backed up. There's some kind of construction at the next exit. So, you know, so we kind of get on the freeway and get right back off, but it's taking, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so, and we're not getting really close to this place. Right. And then the time keeps ticking, and now, you know, 20 minutes have gone by, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and we finally get off the freeway and make a quick U-turn and kind of come back. We get to the exact spot that's on the GPS, and it turns out that that's just an empty field. There's nothing in the place where the GPS is. And so we ended up going back to where we started, back to the hotel, and going and looking at the buildings that were, you know, like we could have walked to when we started. And it turns out that that was the exact place that we were going to be going to. So I was so angry. I wanted to just kind of throw this guy's GPS out the window. But anyway, we ended up rushing in. It was still, you know, 20 minutes or so before we were supposed to start speaking. But when we walked into the room, there were already a lot of the people that were in the audience, a lot of people that we were going to be presenting to were already there. And they had, you know, their laptops kind of set up on their tables and all that kind of stuff. So we were kind of, it looked like we were unprepared. And so it was one of those things that, you know, anytime that you're going to a new venue or something like that, it's a good idea to kind of make sure you know exactly where you're going to be. I usually like to do that the day before now because of experiences like that. So, but it does kind of throw off your game if you have that kind of pressure right before you're about to speak. The last thing that we're going to cover in this one is how to breathe more effectively when you're presenting. Now, this is something that I actually incorrectly taught for, I'd say probably the first 10 or 15 years or so that I was doing public speaking training, is I used to tell people that when we get nervous, we tend to breathe more shallowly. And as a result of breathing more shallowly, it causes us to kind of lose our train of thought more, which is true, but the mechanism of why that happens is actually, it's a little bit more dramatic. One of the things that happens to people when they get nervous is their heart starts to beat faster. When our heart starts to beat faster, it throws off the chemistry in our bloodstream pretty dramatically. And so when you have that really fast racing heart, that means that you're more likely to, it's going to mess with the oxygen levels in your bloodstream and all that kind of stuff. And as a result, it can make you more cloudy when you're more cloudy thinking anyway. So when you speak, it doesn't come out as clearly as what you want it to. And you're more likely to kind of lose your train of thought or lose your place or forget what you're going to say and that kind of thing. Well, after doing a bunch of these presentations and having medical doctors and surgeons kind of go through, they told me that this particular tip, taking a few deep breaths, is one of the best things that you can do to keep any of that stuff from happening. Because what happens is when you take a really deep breath, you know, from the diaphragm, basically what that does is it allows your heart rate to slow down just a little bit, to have a more controlled kind of heart rate. And after having, you know, medical doctors explain this to me in class, it kind of hit me what all, you know, the coaches when I was younger were telling me when I was doing athletics, you know. So when I played, you know, football in high school and in college, and when I was doing weightlifting, and later on when I started doing martial arts and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, you know, all of those kind of things, we are trained to take a big, deep breath and really kind of control our heart rate. And the reason why is because when we get nervous, that heart starts to beat. It messes up our chemistry and it makes it to where we're going to get more confused. We're going to be less clear, all that kind of stuff. So basically, all of those tips that our coaches were giving us when we were younger on breathing, that's very, very important to kind of remain in control. So if you want to have a nice poised presentation right before you speak, just kind of take a really deep kind of breath before you speak, and it'll help you kind of get started on the right time, right track anyway, and kind of reduce your nervousness. So those are the first five things that we're going to cover as far as ways to reduce public speaking fear. I've got an additional five that I'm going to cover on the next podcast. We're also going to cover a new tech find in the next podcast. So if you haven't already done so, make sure and subscribe to the podcast, because anytime we have new sessions coming out, it'll kind of pop up on your podcast device to make it much easier for you to kind of keep track. In addition to that, we have a few different things that will help you apply this stuff in the real world. If you go to fearlesspresentations.com/podcast1, so fearlesspresentations.com/podcast1, it'll give you a summary of kind of what we've covered here, along with the tech find for this week, and a transcript of kind of what we said here. So basically, it's a good follow-up tool to be able to apply it. And also, in addition to that, if you're looking for any of our public speaking classes, the schedule of our upcoming public speaking classes in cities all over the world will actually be on that website as well. So lots of good finds there. So we'll see you on the next Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.